And now, from the gleaming spires of Chicago, broadcasting to Niflheim, Svartalfheim, Olympus, throughout the nine worlds and beyond, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin. You are tuned to the immortal sounds of Radio Free Asgard.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to Radio Free Asgard. This is episode number 191, and we're coming at you, as we always do, from beautiful Chicago, Illinois, where it is springtime, folks. Yes, very, very nice time this weekend, just chilling out, and did spend a little bit of time outside. We had a little bit of nice weather, and then it got cold again. But, you know, hey, that's springtime in Chicago, and it's awesome. Incidentally, speaking of springtime in Chicago, that means we have C2E2. C2E2 is coming up next weekend, the weekend of April 24th through the 26th. Pete and I are going to be at C2E2 on Sunday the 26th. So if anybody is coming around who is a listener of the show, wants to meet up, let me know. Shoot me an email or shoot me a message over on the Facebooks, and we'll do what we can to hook up at some point. All right. So before I get started with our issue, because we're actually covering an issue, it seems like forever since we've just had a regular old episode where we cover an issue and talk about it, because it has been a while since we've done that. And not only that, but we're going back. We're digging back to a well that we haven't dug back to for over a year. Yeah, I know. I want to cover everything, and so I try to cover everything, and it just doesn't work, does it? Anyway, big thanks to Gene Hendricks. And Gene is probably thinking to himself, why is he thanking me? Well, the reason I'm thanking him is because he actually plugged our Casper Cast episode over on his blog, The Hammer Strikes, and didn't say anything to me about it. So, you know, cool. It's a good thing I check out his blog from time to time. Otherwise, I never would have seen it. Anyway, so, and I have another shout out. Now, this is a shout out to a new follower over on our Podbean site. So a big hello out there to Midnight Katana, who has followed us over there. And yeah, if you feel like getting in touch with us, please do. We always love to hear from people on the show. All right, so we don't have a whole ton of news here to cover anything like that. I think you've all heard it already. I'm always the last one to know everything. You know how that goes. Anyway, so we do have an issue of Thor to cover, and now we're gonna delve back into some place we haven't been for a while, and that is Thor Volume 2. Last time we covered an issue from that, I believe, was like February of 2014. Yeah, it's been over a year since we've gone back to those issues, and we got a good one coming up. So here we go with our review.
Cross the Rainbow Bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, Mighty Thor.
Indeed, and this week we are looking at The Mighty Thor, Volume 2, Number 14. Has a cover date of August of 1999. Retailed for $1.99. Cover art looks to be by Mike McCone and shows Thor and Iron Man fighting the Absorbing Man, and the kind of looking a little bit Kirby-ish. It looks like he's trying to look Kirby-ish, but you know, the style isn't quite the same, but it's still a cool cover. Very, very nicely rendered picture here of the Absorbing Man knocking Thor back with his ball and chain. And of course it says, and the Absorbing Man makes three. So we open up to the splash. It's not really the splash page, but we open up to Memorial Hospital, and we have people milling around chatting with each other. We have Jane Foster and we have Colonel Case. Now, it's been a while since we've covered any of these issues, so I kind of have to go back and explain. Colonel Case, I believe, was the guy who his soul had been sucked into the Destroyer at the beginning of Thor Volume 2, and it looked like he might die, blah, blah, blah. Thor managed to save him, take him to the hospital. Nurse Foster saves him, or Dr. Foster, I should say. And now it looks like he's being released. Now, if you remember, there was kind of a cliffhanger at the end of issue number 13, where we had the police say that they were going to arrest Jake Olsen because they found drugs in his toilet. So that's why they, yeah. So there's all this stuff going on, and it's just, we'll kind of pick this up as we go along. The colonel is getting ready to check out of the hospital, and he's like, Dr. Foster, you're the best. If not for you, I'd be 6 feet under at Arlington Cemetery by now. Thanks for everything.
Your road to recovery was a long one, Colonel Case. I'm sure you're excited to be going home after all this time.
Wouldn't be making it at all if you hadn't pulled me out of that coma.
Not that I mind accepting credit, but I'd say you owe more to Thor than me.
So I'm told. Me, I don't remember how I came to be hospitalized, but the brass tells me my mind was trapped in the Destroyer.
That's behind you now, Colonel. You've been cleared of all charges.
Thanks to the testimony of the Avengers, I...
And we hear a metallic voice.
Stand aside, people.
And it is, of course, Iron Man, and we have the splash page.
Get me a doctor, now. This man's had a heart attack.
And Iron Man is holding Jake Olsen in his arms. Of course, I guess we don't know that yet. And we have the credits. Dan Jurgens was the writer of this book. Mike McCone and Mark McKenna were the artists. Greg Wright was the colorist. RS and Comic Crafts, Wes Abbott was the letterer, Tom Brevoort was the editor, and Bob Harris was the chief. It just says chief. I assume editor-in-chief. And we have the title of the story, Stan Lee Presents Hammer Time. You know, getting off on a tangent here, this show was almost called Hammer Time. Yeah, aren't you glad it wasn't? Anyway, so Iron Man is bringing in Jake Olsen, and he sees Dr. Foster.
Good to see you again, Dr. Foster. I have full confidence in your abilities.
Bring him to ER5, Iron Man. You're sure of your diagnosis?
Due to my employer Tony Stark's history of cardiac problems, I've been well trained. This is the real deal, all right.
And of course we get a footnote here that Iron Man is secretly Tony Stark himself.
Fact is, if I hadn't administered CPR at the scene, he'd likely be long dead by now.
Nice work. Let's see who... Jake? Jake Olsen?
Friend of yours?
Best emergency medical technician this hospital has. What in the world happened?
And we have Hannah come in. Hannah, of course, being the girlfriend of Jake Olsen.
Excuse me, Mr. Iron Man, are you aware of the patient's identity or insurance status?
Out, Hannah. You shouldn't be here.
Oh my, that's Jake.
And we see Demetrius is here as well.
What's wrong, Hannah? You look like you've seen a ghost.
Demetrius?
This isn't Grand Central Station. Everyone out,
says Nurse Foster.
No heart, the doctor, says Iron Man.
But Jake and I are engaged.
He's my partner and best friend. Something's going down and we deserve answers, Iron Man.
And Iron Man's thinking to himself, that makes two of us. I'm having a hard time fitting all the pieces together myself.
And he says out loud, all I can tell you is that today's events began at Avengers Mansion, where I was engaged in a project with Thor.
And we get a bit of flashback here. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. We see what's going on, and we see Thor and Iron Man, and they've got a big piece of, like, the Rainbow Bridge here.
'Tis most remarkable indeed, friend Iron Man, says Thor. Ne'er did I think to find myself collecting fragments of the Rainbow Bridge itself on Midgard.
This is the last of it?
Aye. Not but one object yet remains, and that is to be found in yon waters of the Atlantic.
And the two of them take off flying, and they're carrying, I guess, a big bin of Asgardian fragments here.
Don't take this the wrong way, Thor, says Iron Man. But I feel a lot better having these Asgardian fragments out of Avengers Mansion.
Worry not, fellow Avenger. Thy words trouble me not in the least. Even now Asgard is being rebuilt. 'Tis there that all these items belong.
I don't see any boats. Are we waiting for a sub?
And they're kind of hovering over the water.
Nay, we await the avenging sun himself. Namor, the Submariner, for 'tis he who didst fetch yon sea-going vessel from the ocean's bottom. And just as he says that, we get Namor splashing up out of the water, and he's wearing his scaly green swim trunks, like we always do. Really nice shot here. I really like the way this page looks. And he's carrying in some kind of weird piece of a vessel or something out.
It's an honor indeed to assist the Odinson in realm eternal. Thanks to thee, Prince of the Sea, thou art warrior proud and colleague forever. Now let mighty Mjolnir cleave the barriers twixt dimensions and space, so that we may journey far to the most hallowed city in all creation, Asgard.
And we have image here of the city, which looks it looks pretty beat up. And that's, of course, because of the Dark Gods. If you remember them from earlier in Volume 2, they had taken over Asgard, wrecking everything up. And they're kind of nasty bunch of people. Anyway, the scene shifts and we see the Rainbow Bridge and Heimdall, of course, standing guard, because that's what Heimdall does. He guards the Rainbow Bridge.
"By the gates of hell," says Heimdall, "my senses, more keen than those of any other, detect an approaching presence. Be they friend or foe, Heimdall stands ready to protect the Golden Realm, no matter what might come."
And Thor and Iron Man pop onto the Rainbow Bridge, and they are there.
"Thou need fear not, my brother," says Thor, "for 'tis not but allies who do approach." "Thor, my friend, my heart leaps with joy at the sight of thee," says Heimdall.
And Iron Man's sitting here on the Rainbow Bridge as well.
Heimdall's like, "I proclaim thee champion of champions, god of gods." "Amazing. No matter how many times I encounter the Asgardians, I can't help but feel uncomfortable. Guess it's still hard for me to think of Thor as a god." "The last fragment of thy precious Rainbow Bridge, Heimdall. Let your hands and none other be the ones that fit it into place."
So I guess the Rainbow Bridge is kind of like a giant jigsaw puzzle. I guess that's what... I don't know.
"Thou dost bestow a great honor upon me, my prince," says Heimdall. "All glory to the Odin Son," he shouts. "Let his praises ring throughout the heavens."
Iron Man's thinking to himself, sheesh, this is getting deep.
"Come, Iron Man, omnipotent Odin doth await."
So the two of them are heading into the city of Asgard. And we see as they wander into the city, there's lots of other Asgardians. And they look like they're all fixing up the city, basically.
"Amazing. You're gods with access to magic and earthen technology, yet you're rebuilding Asgard by hand?"
And we can see that there's the people with hammers and carrying big chunks of rock and so forth.
"Oh, hail to Thor," says one of the people.
"Though time's rivers floweth on, we are a simple people devoted to the ways of old. To apply sinew and skill in the construction of a home is to find the true value of the dwelling."
And they come across the Warriors Three, and it looks like Fandral is up on a scaffolding hammering something or other with a sort of hammer axe looking thing. And Hogan is also up there, putting planks and piling them up. And then, of course, we have Volstagg, who just looks like he's sitting there watching them work. And Fandral notices them. He says,
"'Tis Thor! Pray thee tell, art thou here to lend might and muscle to our efforts?"
"In good time, dashing Fandral, though 'twould seem thou art proceeding well without me."
"Aye, thanks to my talent as a visionary and supervisor," says Volstagg.
"Thou art as adept as ever in avoiding labor, Volstagg," says Hogan.
"One cannot change the ways of wind nor sun, Hogan. Mayhap the invincible Iron Man might be recruited to assist."
"Me?"
"Aye, 'tis an honor indeed to welcome a warrior ally of the God of Thunder," says Balder, who is arriving with a plank over his shoulders.
"Agreed, Balder," says Volstagg. "Mortal though he might be, still might he assist us by fetching food and ale on our behalf."
"Maybe some other time," says Iron Man,
and he goes to leave.
"Come, we must try noble Odin's patience no longer," says Thor, and the two of them go off to Odin,
and... The Iron Man's thinking to himself, give a sociologist a year with these people and he'd have a field day. And all of a sudden there's a voice coming from behind, and it turns out it is Odin and a large group of other creatures. It looks like we have some trolls here and at least one giant, and it looks like probably a bunch of other Norse god type people.
"If my patience is to be tried, 'tis not for reasons of delay."
"No, never," says his raven.
"Quiet, Heskimar, but because thou art accompanied, Asgard should not be seen by mortal eyes until its full glory is restored. Nor should the eyes of man behold the sight of all those I did free from their imprisonment at the hands of the dark gods. Whether they hail from the lands of Jotunheim or Muspelheim, friend and foe have I at last been returned to their proper homes.
Even those pledged to our destruction? Asks Thor. Why?
Have a care, Thor, says Odin. 'Twas of great import that the natural order of things be restored. So saith Odin. So let it be done. Look ye now into these flames of truth. 'Twould seem another doth have a message for thee.
And Odin kind of sticks a torch into Thor's face, and it turns out to be a sort of cosmic voyeuroscope sort of thing. And we see a weird face in the flames, and we recognize this as Orichal, who I think you remember is being held prisoner by the dwarves.
Tiny creature, thy heroism did loom large. Thou art to be favored then with a warning.
Orichal, slave to Gerodr the troll, and seer of all there is and will be.
Aye, know ye well that not all is well. Forces beyond thy ken conspire against thee. Have a care and tread lightly, Asgardian.
And the vision fades. And Thor doesn't seem too impressed by that.
If there are those who wish to challenge the God of Thunder, then Thor stands ready to meet that challenge. Now, let us away to Midgard.
And Thor's whipping his hammer around, and we shift scenes again, and we're back in the hospital in the present, so the little flashback is over. And Iron Man's like,
next stop, Earth.
Very interesting, said Jane. But what about Jake?
And Iron Man's thinking to himself, sad. Guess they don't know the truth any more than I did at the time.
We didn't go where Thor planned. Instead of appearing at the Avengers Mansion,
they appear somewhere different.
By the thousand threats of Ragnarok, says Thor, 'twas not my intent to journey to Midtown.
Hammer still acting up,
says Iron Man.
Aye, on occasion. 'Tis a matter most puzzling indeed.
Yeah, so if you remember, Thor's hammer has not really been behaving itself very well. And we kind of thought that we'd fixed it, but not really. So, yeah. So, Thor's still having some problems with it.
Worry about it later, Avenger, says Iron Man. We've got trouble.
And we see that the Absorbing Man and Titania are kind of on a tear through Midtown Manhattan. The Absorbing Man has absorbed an iron light pole, and Titania is throwing cars around. It looks like a police car.
Odin's beard! Does the Absorbing Man and Titania? Is it coincidence that my Uru hammer didn't drop us here? Or at forces far greater at work? Lousy cops are always busting our chops, says the Absorbing Man. I say we show 'em once and for all.
I don't mean to be rude, Iron Man, says Hannah, but I still don't see how this involves Jake.
It was mayhem. Chaos and destruction all rolled into one, Ms. Fairmont.
How does he know her last name?
Innocent people were in danger. The kind of situation that demanded a paramedic. Give me the 5-second rundown, officer,
says Iron Man to the soldiers here, police officer.
Seems Creel took his old lady into a jewelry store to buy her an anniversary present, Iron Man. Owner got nervous, hit the silent alarm, and we ended up in World War III. That explanation enough?
Verily, for mankind doth now stand threatened, and when the forces of blackness threaten, there must go the God of Thunder. There must Thor fight.
All I wanted was to be left alone, says the Absorbing Man, to buy my wife a present. But you don't want to give us a break. Want to kill me because I'm a freak. Well, the only ones who are going to die here is yous.
And he picks up a chunk of concrete, which, of course, he absorbs, and he becomes in, like, this big chunk of concrete. And we see Olsen and Demetrius, and Demetrius is like, no!
Mortal, I say thee nay. As long as Thor stands present, none save ye shall be imperiled this day.
And the hammer smashes a chunk of concrete that Creel was going to throw at the paramedics or the cops or whatever.
You're the worst of all, says Creel.
And I guess he just realizes Thor's there.
Nay, Crusher Creel, I am but a protector of the innocent in the face of those such as ye who would use their powers with evil intent.
And Thor leaps forward, and he's doing like this double-handed punch thing, and he smacks Crusher Creel right in the face. And we get a little bit more narration here.
The absorbing man is no lightweight, says Iron Man, not when he can turn his body into any material he touches. Thor had his hands full, which left me free to go after his partner.
And Iron Man is smashing Titania, kind of smashing her into the side of a truck, and the truck driver's looking at us like, dude.
Next year, do us all a favor and celebrate your anniversary with a quiet evening at home, Titania.
And smashes her into the truck with a batang.
To me, Mjolnir, return to thy master as thou must.
And Thor's calling his hammer, but it doesn't seem to be going that well.
As I understand it, no matter how far Thor throws his hammer, it always comes back.
Shouldn't have turned your head, Goldilocks.
And so Crusher Creel stomps Thor in the face with his boot with a crump.
This time, Thor's hammer kept going until it plowed into the side of a building.
So Thor doesn't have his hammer back, obviously.
We've been doing this dance for years, Thor. Maybe it's time we make this the last.
And the Absorbing Man is smashing Thor with his ball and chain, which is still made of concrete from the looks of it. And we cut back to Iron Man briefly.
I know this stems from a misunderstanding, but someone's going to get hurt if this isn't ended soon.
But as we can see, Titania has no intention of ending this soon. She's like, Cretin, I'll... And Iron Man's like,
do nothing.
And he smashes her into the truck with his repulsor rays, apparently knocking her out. And Creel's like, Mary! And he turns his head, and Thor just belts someone. And he's turned back into flesh at this point, so I guess it knocks him out.
Away, says Thor.
And swacks him, knocks him down. And Thor's thinking to himself, Mjolnir hath been out of my grasp for nigh unto a minute. I must retrieve it ere the unthinkable occurs. And Thor goes off, I guess, to get his hammer, or just about. And the Absorbing Man has turned his attention to Iron Man.
Crummy, lousy, woman-beaten skunk! You die!
He touches a piece of metal or something that's on the ground and smashes Iron Man in the face with his ball and chain with a brung! And Thor has leapt in here instead of going to get his hammer. And Iron Man's saying,
Thor should have taken him care of himself first. But a sense of courage, honor, and commitment demanded he pull the Absorbing Man off of me, which cost him.
And so Thor is like getting dizzy or something. And he's like,
odds blood. I.
Thor, what's wrong?
Says Iron Man. And he's falling back. And we see him beginning to change. And of course, we know he's changing back into Jake Olsen. And he goes running off. He's like,
no. None may see me change back to Jake Olsen.
And he kind of runs into the alleyway, and he sees the hammer sticking out of the wall. And at that point, Thor has completely changed back into Jake Olsen. It's like, oh man, this is happening way too often lately. Almost like someone's making it happen. And he sees the hammer, and he grabs the hammer, but he can't move it.
Come on, you.
Kitty gone, says the hammer, which, yeah,
is unusual.
Huh?
Thou art accomplice to murder, as thy miserable father Odin didst murder Forsung, so shall the Odin son suffer in turn.
And this giant green glow emerges from the handle of the hammer and is kind of congealing into a humanoid form. And Jake is like,
Forsung? One of the enchanters?
Aye, as am I,
Enrakt.
And Enrakt, he materializes, and looking very much like he did when Kirby drew him last. And they last appeared, for your information, back in Thor number 143, so at the very height of the Lee Kirby era.
Mourner of Forsung, brother to Brona and Magnir, the enchanters, pledged one and all to the destruction of thy murderous, treacherous dog of a father.
By the thousand threats of Ragnarok, says Jake Olsen. My hammer's been acting up for months. You've been inside all along?
Verily, 'tis so. Slowly building control until I might emerge. Didst ye forget that Magnir once controlled Mjolnir? That he once turned its might upon the likes of thee? Now, as we did suffer the loss of our brother, so must Odin the pig suffer the loss of his son.
And Enracht takes his hand and he thrusts it through Jake Olsen's chest. Now, I don't think that was meant to be literally so, but it kind of like phases in to his chest and you've got kind of this greenish glow here. And Jake is like, "Arg!" And then Enracht starts to vanish.
"'Tis done, Forsung. Look from whatever hell ye occupy, and take heart that vengeance is thine at last."
And Olsen's laying on the ground, and then Iron Man comes around the corner and is like,
"Thor, where?"
"This feels wrong. All wrong. No sight of Thor, just a man of medicine, and a hammer without a master. Is this the Don Blake scenario all over again? You okay, pal?"
And he tries to wake up Jake Olsen.
"Oh, no!"
The cop comes running around the corner here.
"Iron Man, you let those creeps get away."
"It was either that or let this man die. He's had a heart attack."
"You want I should call an ambulance?"
"No time. I'm heading for the hospital."
And Iron Man picks up Jake Olsen and takes off flying. And the cop is like,
"Whoa, is that what I think it is?"
And then we're back in the present day at the hospital. Yeah, we're jumping back and forth a lot.
"Near as I can tell, your friend got caught up in Thor's battle and suffered cardiac arrest."
"Again? Didn't he learn his lesson the first time?" says Hannah.
"Thor went after the absorbing man while I brought Jake here."
"Paddles,"
says Jane. And we get a kind of a dream sequence here while Jake is unconscious. And we see Thor and he's standing in the middle of a bunch of heads. And it's kind of like all his friends and enemies all surrounding him. And says in the captions,
"It is said that one's life passes before his eyes when death is near. Some claim to see long departed family members. Few, if any, glimpse the future." "By Odin's beard," says Thor, "what manner of trickery transpires here? Mortal and god, enemy and friend alike. If thou wouldst have words with me, then speak."
"Who?" And it turns out to be Jake Olsen, and Jake Olsen comes up to Thor and touches his shoulder. And he's sort of trying to whisper something into Thor's ear. And Thor's like,
"Louder, I cannot hear thee.
Louder, I cannot hear thee over the laughter." And I guess all the faces in the background now are laughing. And we see Hela and Loki and a bunch of other people. And while this is going on, we see Jane Foster. She's trying to revive Olsen. She's got this, the defibrillator, and she's trying to restart his heart.
"Clear,"
she says. And it goes crack. You're trying to bring him back.
"Nay, I must not leave until I have heard," says Thor.
And we get a shot of the hospital.
"His heart's beating normally again, thank God," says the nurse.
"Interesting choice of words, nurse,"
says Jane Foster. And so it looks like Jake might be okay, at least for now. And she comes out of the procedure room or whatever operating room, and Iron Man and Hannah and Demetrius are still there. She's thinking to herself,
"Good thing Tony found Jake or he never would have survived. I wonder if he knows."
Now, this is weird because I never got the impression that Jane Foster knew Iron Man's secret identity. I don't know. If anybody knows this, let me know. Does Jane Foster know Iron Man's secret identity? It doesn't really make sense that she would. And Iron Man's thinking to himself,
"Jane and Thor used to be an item years ago. I wonder if she knows."
"He's alive but weak. In time, he should recover fully."
And we have, Detective O'Neill shows up and he's like, "I'm looking for Jake Olsen."
"Who wants to know?" says Iron Man.
"O'Neill, NYPD.
"You're here to give him an award already?" says Hannah. "This isn't a good time, Detective."
"It never is. Here."
"Is that a tribute of some kind?" says Hannah.
"No, this is wrong," says Iron Man.
And when Iron Man says that, we see that Jake Olsen has got his eyes open, so he's starting to recover. The detective goes on to say,
"Olsen is the one who's wrong, Iron Man. He's a thief and a drug dealer, and this is a warrant for his immediate arrest."
The caption says, "Be here next month," as believe it or not, things get worse. And that is Thor, Volume 2, Number 14. And of course, we will have a few things to say about it, as we always do, right after this.
The Fantasticast is your guide to the Fantastic Four from the beginning of the Marvel Age of Comics in 1961 onwards.
Each week, Steve Lacey and Andy Leyland cover every issue, spin-off, guest appearance and cameo, and more.
And in 2015, we begin our journey through the decade that Taste forgot, the 1970s.
Join us as we take a look at
the departure of Jack Kirby and Stan Lee,
the Kree-Skrull War,
the arrival of Marvel Team-Up,
Bill Murray as the Human Torch,
creators including Roy Thomas, George Perez, Marv Wolfman, Jerry Conway, Rich Buckler and John Byrne,
and of course, Marvel 2-in-1.
All this and more at ffcast.libsyn.com and on iTunes and Stitcher.
The Fantastic Cast.
Insert catchy tagline here. Wait, what?
And we're back. And of course, yeah, so our return to Thor Volume 2, starting out with a bang here with the Absorbing Man, my favorite Thor villain, arguably, and Titania going up against Shellhead and Thor. Notice the two guest stars in this issue. Yeah, we're still very much in this era where we're having a lot of crossover because apparently they feel that Thor will sell better if you have a different guest star in every issue. So Iron Man this time, Namor makes an appearance, you know, and it's going to go on for a little while anyway, where we're going to have the odd guest star. And it's a shame that they did that, but I kind of get why. I mean, we're recovering from the extreme 90s. And if you're going to do that, I guess that, you know, a good choice for writer would be Dan Jurgens. Now, Dan, of course, had been writing Superman over at DC, and Superman was one of those rare characters that came through the extreme 90s a bit better than most. I mean, there had some moments of pretty shitty comics in the Superman world back during that era, but nothing like what we saw in Thor, say. And of course, we will eventually be getting to those extreme 90 issues of Thor, and that of course kind of started in that post-Simonson era, and we're going to be going back to that at some point too. But if there's anybody who knows how to tell a superhero yarn, you know, in a very straightforward manner, it's Dan Jurgens. Story-wise, it's really nothing special, isn't it? It's just kind of a knockdown drag out between Iron Man and the Absorbing Man and Thor and Titania as a flashback sequence, really, to try to explain why Jake Olsen has had this heart attack all of a sudden, and now we know it was caused indeed by Enrakt, who was one of the evil enchanters from way back in Thor number 143. It's really cool that, you know, Dan Jurgens thought to bring those characters back. They I don't think they were handled particularly well in the Lee Kirby era, but it was a cool story. I mean, they had cool design, and they were formidable villains, even if they weren't the best of the best as far as the Lee Kirby run. They were still a pretty good story back then, as most of those stories were pretty good. Artwork here by Mike McCone and Mark McKenna. It's pretty good, I have to say. I mean, it's not quite in the classic style. It's definitely of its time. Take that as you will. But it's certainly not the extreme 90s scratchy art that we'd been accustomed up to this point so often. And it was actually a nice, slick line. Some good layouts. There's some really nice bits here. The image of Thor changing back into Jake Olsen, and he's kind of in this half Thor, half Olsen state, which looks pretty cool. We got some nice panel layouts here. And in other words, it's a nice looking issue, and it's a solid story. And so it definitely is kind of right up there, and it's like, you know, yeah, this is a win here. This is a good issue. And now, of course, we're not going to have Mike McCone sticking around on the book. We have a fill-in next time, and then we have J.R. Jr. coming back to Thor again, and we'll be back to him. But, you know, as a change of pace, it's definitely pretty cool. All right, and with that, it's about time to head off for now. Now, don't forget, C2E2 next weekend. If you guys, anybody going to be in town, let me know. Shoot me an email, Facebook or something, and see if we can get together during the con. And for me, I'm going to be trying to get Stan Lee to sign something. Yeah, I know, it's $80 or whatever. But, you know, Stan Lee's not going to be around forever, so it's going to be my chance, you know, my one chance probably to meet Stan. So, yeah, so I'm going to take advantage of that. Anyhow, time to wrap it up for this week. Once again, folks, thanks very much for listening. Time to use our Ajax White Tornado to teleport ourselves back to Midgard. And we'll see you next time here on Radio Free Asgard. You have been listening to Radio Free Asgard, a production of Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor and all associated characters are mostly copyright Marvel Comics. The stories presented are done so for educational, review, and entertainment purposes only. No ownership is implied. The silly voices, however, well, they're all me. Musical selections from Eden, the Invincible Sword of the Elfsmith, are copyright Mots Vent and are used with permission. If you like what you've heard on the show, we hope you'll leave us a review on iTunes, tell your friends, or even join our Facebook group. We really love hearing from our listeners, and we appreciate all of your support. Thanks once again very much for listening to Radio Free Asgard.